are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Monday edition of the program. There is no rapid react today. We got to push that back tomorrow because the 49ers prime time again. Got the Monday night football matchup, so rapid react podcast coming on Tuesday. So I guess a little react of what happened this Sunday around the NFL. Going to get into the injury report for the 49ers. Definitely some people have already been ruled out for Monday night. I want to talk a little bit about the weather situation going on there and the fires in California, as well as hear from Kyle Shanahan, who spoke this weekend about the fires and if the 49ers game could potentially be moved Monday night. And the coach also spoke about Nick Mullins and Matt Breida. So we'll get to all of that on today's program. Looking ahead, we're going to do the rapid react on Tuesday's show and then an old school edition of a true Winky Wednesday on Wednesday. There's no Wednesday crossover this week because the 49ers are on a bye, so we're going to bring Nick in for a Winky Wednesday and talk about everything that's going on with the 49ers and around the league. Maybe check in on that Locked On 49ers Fantasy Football League as well. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the podcast. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it everywhere. Follow me on Twitter at BD Peacock. Get those questions in for Nick and I on that mailbag portion of the Winky Wednesday podcast. You can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And of course, go to LockedOn49ers.com for not only the podcast, but all kinds of other articles and things going up there all the time. Okay, injury report, I guess, is a good place to start for Monday Night Football. Already ruled out are Reuben Foster, Jaquaski Tartt, and Pierre Garçon. They didn't practice all week, and Kyle Shanahan did say that those guys are out. But, quote, everyone else is good. So the other members of the injury report, like Garrett Celek, I just got a veteran day off, as did Joe Staley, so those guys weren't even hurt. But Weston Richburg, just nursing that knee, limited participant this week, and then did get some full sessions in. George Kittle was dealing with a chest injury, I guess, for the last few weeks, and he did get banged up and left the game and came back last week, so he's good to go. Joshua Garnett, a thumb injury, but fully participating in practice. So relatively healthy, aside from those three players, Foster, Garçon, and Tartt, who will not play Monday night. And looking at the opposition real quick, the New York Giants only have three players listed, all three of them fully participating in practice. So basically a completely clean injury report for the New York Giants. Coming off a bye week, you hope that the 49ers in week 12 after that week 11 bye next week are able to come out and be relatively clean on the injury sheet. That would be very nice for once in the season for the 49ers to come in with just about everybody ready to go that's not on injured reserve already. Speaking of injuries, let's hear from Coach Shanahan. He was asked the question from Chris Biederman during the conference call this weekend. If you remember last week on the show, if you didn't hear it, you should go back and listen to the episode where I had Chris Biederman on the program. And he dropped the nugget that I didn't realize. As it turns out, even though he's been banged up quite a bit, running back Matt Breida hasn't missed a football game dating back to high school. So all through college, and he was dinged up, especially his senior year in college. He's had some shoulder injuries and obviously been dealing with that ankle this season. But Breida's been a bit of an iron man. So Shanahan talked about that and the things he liked about Matt Breida coming out of college and why he went undrafted.
Durable in college. You know, he played a lot. We thought he was a real good runner. You know, a guy that we definitely thought was draftable. You know, we thought he would be around there late, and we went a few directions there in the sixth and seventh round. But he's one of the guys you're watching every pick saying, man, I hope that guy gets to free agency. And then if you have one of those extra sevenths or things or went a different direction, we definitely would have grabbed him. But we felt very fortunate he lasted. Durability wasn't an issue. I think from what I remember, just with you asking me this, since it was 2 years ago, from what I remember, he had very good numbers and stats. And then they went really down his last year. And I think that's why he went a little bit under the radar because of numbers, which you do hear about, but that's usually the last thing you hear about. We just put the tape on and watch it. And you think he's going to be way up there. And then you try to figure out why no one's talking about him. And from what I remember, I think it was because his numbers took a big decline his last year.
Niners getting some serious play out of their undrafted free agents in 2017. A couple of them starting this week in Matt Breida and quarterback Nick Mullins, who the coach also mentioned during his conference call. There was an awesome story of him working on the scout team as a safety last year because there wasn't any reps for him at quarterback, and then the work he puts in on his own time. And it was really obvious against the Oakland Raiders last week, him coming in, running that offense. It was obvious that he had been doing his homework and he was ready to go in Kyle Shanahan's system. And here's a little story from the coach. It just kind of illustrates some of those reasons why.
Yeah, like I said last week, Nick's a machine with every opportunity he gets. He is out there. He's dialed in. He takes advantage of every opportunity. Showed some clips earlier in the week of where he was last year on this exact date on Wednesday, whatever that date was. And we're running a play on the field, and it wasn't him getting the rep because we were great. He was at middle third safety, and we were showing him. And I was like, how'd you get better that day? And then there was clips from after practice throwing that clip on air. And then the next clip was a year later to the day, and we run the same play, but he was actually playing quarterback instead of safety or not on a field by himself throwing the air. So he always finds a way to get work, and he works the same way every day. It's, I'm sure, a lot more fun for him and better work that he's got the other 10 guys out there he's going to be working with on Sunday or Monday.
Love the Nick Mullins stuff, the underdog story. I love him making good and getting his opportunity and earning his opportunity. And you really hope that this continues because it's been such a shot in the arm, I think, for the 49ers fan base. And, you know, how much better do you guys feel right now than 10 days ago before that Raiders game, before the 49ers came out and really shellacked the Raiders with Nick Mullins? And I think they have an opportunity to do that again with the New York Giants, or at least come away with another win here. And I don't know how many wins there's going to be down the road, but to go into the bye, have that whole week with the winning vibe, and just let this Nick Mullins story kind of continue a little bit longer. And who knows, maybe he's just flat out the real deal and the 49ers are super competitive the rest of the way. And I mean, I don't even want to go that far, but just for right now, it's fun. It's a great storyline, and I really hope it continues for a while longer, because it's not only is it a great story for Nick Mullins, it's a lot more fun, and the 49ers are playing better football under him so far. But obviously, opponents help, so when they start playing some better competition, that's going to get really interesting. An unfortunate turn of events with the fires that are going on in Butte County, Northern California, and it's infecting tons of California. Then more fires going on in Southern California. So many homes lost and people displaced. It's just an awful situation. The air quality is bad. Shanahan did talk about some of that, so I want to get to that stuff after the break. But first, I got to tell you guys about MyBookie. I don't always know who's going to win, but if you think you do know for a fact that the 49ers are going to cover that 3-point spread and win their second game in a row over the Giants on Monday Night Football, which is the bet I would make, you got to go to MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. So lay down some cash today and win big at MyBookie. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is super easy to use. And for you fantasy guys, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. For example, the aforementioned Matt Breida running wild on that Giants defense, or another big game from Mullins and George Kittle. They have in-game live betting and their most rewarding player perks in the business. And a special offer for my listeners: join MyBookie now and they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. MyBookie will match your first deposit 100% up to $1,000. So visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. And MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. On to the rough news of the week, and this campfire, as it's called in Butte County, has been terrible because not only are so many people affected, it's affecting players on the team. One of the 49ers coaches has a GoFundMe for it. It's on my Twitter. I retweeted it if you want to go find that and donate. And Matt Maiocco, 49ers beat writer, his family's been affected by it. I saw side-by-side he posted online, which was a photo of his parents' home and before and after, and it was just leveled, just complete ash. Some of the photos and stories like that I've seen are just unreal. So there, you know, if you can, there's a tons of places you can donate. I lived in Chico, California for about 4 years before I moved to San Francisco. You've probably heard me tell the story about how I went to Butte College at the same time. Aaron Rodgers was there. We could have crossed paths. We could have sat next to each other in class. I would have had no idea because I didn't know who he was until later on when he was at Cal and became an NFL prospect. But knowing tons of people that are affected by this thing and seeing the devastation and just a complete city of Paradise, California, that's very near Chico, that's been completely burned down, and just seeing how much smoke there is in San Francisco, it's the air quality is terrible here in the Bay Area, so I can't imagine how much smoke and what that looks like up there. So, yeah, my heart goes out to those people, and it's been a rough time, and not only have so many lives been affected, but now with just the air quality, it could affect the 49ers game on Monday, and so the coach touched on some of that.
I know it's a possibility because I definitely understand what's going on, and I'm just, you know, hearing about it the last 2 days, and, you know, last night, you know, just when I got home, my wife showed me some of the videos that are going on. It's, you know how bad it is, and you see it, and it's unbelievable. It's affected a ton of people on our team. I know everyone through California, and you know, obviously it's our prayers go out to all those people because that is probably the most important thing going on in our country right now, that we got to get that fixed because it's scary and it's a real deal, and I know how many people it's affected in this building, so I can't imagine around the state. But, you know, as far as the game on Monday, you know, I don't know if we're ready to play, and I don't plan on things changing. And if they do, it's because it needs to, and we'll wait till someone tells us what we're doing after that, and we'll be ready to do it.
Now, all that said, a very, very low chance, I think, that anything is affected with this game. And the Raiders played in Oakland on Sunday, and I don't expect the air quality is going to be any worse in Santa Clara on Monday. It's possible that it is a lot worse, but unless it's really catastrophically bad, I don't think they're going to do anything about it and change anything with this game. It's a primetime game. If they haven't done anything yet at this point, then I got to imagine that by Monday night, they're not going to change anything. And so unless some new fires start up and it gets crazy, but looking at the air quality numbers right now and all the ratings that are out there from various systems, it's bad, but it's not going to be bad enough to actually affect the game and actually have them move the game or change times or anything like that. So more than likely, kickoff as it usually is shortly after 5 p.m. for Monday Night Football from Levi's Stadium. All right, let's check in on the rest of the league. It's week 10 now, so post week 10 for everybody but the 49ers and the Giants. And let's be honest, this game is not going to have any effect on the playoffs. It's going to affect the draft situation a lot more than it's going to affect the playoffs with two teams that have a combined 3 wins. But the playoff picture is starting to come into focus, and I do have some thoughts about what's going on around the league and some interesting things that are happening for different teams that we don't really get to talk about a lot on the show. So we'll take today's episode to do that here to finish up the program. And the first thing I want to mention is my favorite thing I saw Sunday, which was Mike Vrabel's Tennessee Titans not only beating the New England Patriots, but it was the way they did it. And I don't look at it as being, you know, them disrespecting the Patriots, and especially wasn't most likely pointed toward Bill Belichick, maybe toward Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator for the Patriots a little bit. But Mike Vrabel's Tennessee Titans calling that throwback play that the Patriots had already run in the game. And if you remember the one from the Super Bowl, if you remember when they did that play with the Patriots and they throw it back to Tom Brady and he didn't make the catch. And then this time they did it again in this game. This time he does make the catch, but being the unathletic goon that he is, it's crazy because he has such good feet and he's so great in the pocket and great mechanics. And then he gets out into space and you're like, oh yeah, it's 41-year-old Tom Brady, right? He's not, yeah, he ran a five or something coming out of college. He was not an athlete when he was 20, so he's definitely not an athlete when he's 40. And so he makes the catch this time, but then just trips on his own feet. The turf monster gets him, and he ends up stumbling and falling over and looking very unathletic. Then the Titans come back and run the same play with a much more athletic quarterback in Marcus Mariota, and it works much better, and they get a first down. So it was just awesome using their play. And then after the game, Mike Vrabel said he just wanted to see if they could run it any better. And yeah, they could run it a little bit better than the Patriots. So I thought that was awesome. And not only that, but not only, you know, beating the New England Patriots, which I think at this point people are excited to see just because they win so much, you know. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for what the Patriots do. I think they do great things, and I don't have ill will towards them. I think a lot of fans hate them, but I don't really feel that way. But when they get beaten like this and there's some other storylines happening, it's kind of fun to see, I got to be honest. And not only that, but they were beating him so bad, and by the end of the game, they just took Tom Brady out. You don't see the Patriots do that. Brian Hoyer, the 49ers great, Brian Hoyer was in the game at quarterback for the New England Patriots. Tom Brady sitting on the bench as they're getting beaten. That doesn't happen very often, and it was very interesting. And I wonder if it was a thing where like it was like, look, Tom, you got to sit down now. Like they threw down the same play you did, and they ran it better. So your day's over. Sorry, buddy. but I don't know. I just thought that was funny. That was a fun game, and the Mike Vrabel thing with the former Patriot. I don't know. Just good storylines there, and the Tennessee Titans. I mean, the Patriots are going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to go deep in the playoffs probably again. And actually, I want to get back into that and talk about what our preseason predictions were for this season. So interesting happenings right now. But with the Tennessee Titans, it's like there's so many teams in the league, the parity that goes on in the NFL. And the Titans, I think, are the perfect example. They're sitting at 5-4 right now in the season. And you have no idea going into any given week what Titans team is going to show up, if they're going to be good, if they're going to beat a team like the Patriots, or if they're just going to be terrible and get crushed. And so it's so weird, and there's so many teams around the league that are like that. And I think the most telling is actually in the NFC right now. There's only six teams in the NFC that have records over 500 after 10 weeks. That's crazy. Only six teams, which means there's 10 teams that are below 500. So the NFC's, that playoff picture is going to start being very obvious very soon, much sooner than I think than the AFC, which is split right down the middle with eight teams over, eight teams under 500, two teams in each division, each over and under 500. So much more symmetry going on in the AFC than there is right now in the NFC, which is looking a lot more like the haves and the have-nots. Speaking of the haves, are the New Orleans Saints the best team in the NFL right now? Absolutely blew the doors off the Bengals in Cincinnati, 51-14. All right, I want to get more into this. We've got to take a quick break, but ponder that during the break. Are the Saints the best team in the NFL? Man, the Saints are rolling right now. I think they've got the best defense they've had in the Drew Brees era. Brees is still the ageless one right now, just rolling, playing at such a high level. He's got a number one wide receiver in Michael Thomas, who's fantastic. He's got a two-headed monster at running back. He's got an offensive line protected for him. They're just a really good team right now. And I was thinking about this. I want to take you in the Wayback Machine. Do you remember way back at the beginning of the season, preseason, when Winkler and I, during a Winky Wednesday podcast, had our season predictions? I just want to remind everybody where we were with those. And I wonder if, actually, this is going to be a test for this week's Winky Wednesday podcast. We'll see if Nick is listening and heard Monday's show and heard me bring up our predictions. And by the way, I'm going to put a little filter on this so you can tell that we're going into the past. All right, let's start with AFC, NFC, and Super Bowl.
Okay.
Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay. I've got the New Orleans Saints beating the Houston Texans in the Super Bowl. Drew Brees retires after hoisting the Lombardi again. Teddy Bridgewater takes over for the Saints in 2019. And the Houston Texans, just Deshaun Watson, look legit for a short stretch. He doesn't even have to look as good as he looked last year as a rookie. Just be really good. Return from his ACL. Looks like the guy we saw. And then J.J. Watt is back. You got Jadeveon Clowney. They've got Hopkins. They've got some talent over there. And so they can wreak havoc on the AFC South.
All right. For me, I look at the NFC North, and I want to pick a team from there, and there's so many good teams. They're going to beat up on each other, right? Especially if Chicago really is the real deal. But I do think Minnesota can come out of there, even if with a smaller record, and they've got the kind of team that's built for the playoffs with that defense and running game, and with Kirk Cousins and two stud wide receivers and a pretty good tight end. Like, I really think that the Vikings are the team to beat in the NFC. I think in the AFC, I think it's the Steelers. I think that it's going to be Steelers over Vikings for the Super Bowl title.
Okay, we're back to the future. Still very much alive, Nick and I, from our preseason predictions. Saints, Texans, Steelers, Vikings, all looking like a very good above 500 teams with a good shot at the playoffs right now. And I had to go back to check on that clip because I was thinking, and I totally forgot about it until today, and I was thinking about, man, look how good the Saints are. They're probably the best team in the NFL. And I was like, oh man, I think I actually picked the Saints. And I got to be honest, I didn't put a ton of work into my preseason predictions, but I really like what the Saints said. First of all, beating the Rams last week, who were unbeaten. And I love that Nick and I didn't go with, you know, everybody in the world was picking Rams and Patriots, and we didn't pick those teams. So props to Nick and I for avoiding that. But I like it. Saints over Texans, Steelers over Vikings. All teams playing pretty well right now. And the road for the Saints and the Rams is just looking like, you know, that's a done deal. The Rams at 9-1. Nobody else in the NFC West is over 500. Rams beat Seattle this week. That was an interesting NFC West matchup. Rams coming back to beat the Seahawks 36-31. They had some big plays down the stretch. Jared Goff playing really good football. Todd Gurley still just doing ridiculous things every week. 120 yards on 16 carries and a touchdown. Brandon Cooks going over 100 yards. So, you know, the Seahawks are competitive. They didn't crumble like I think everyone thought, but they are at 4-5 now. Oh, and by the way, did you see that ridiculous? After the game, Aaron Donald goes looking for one of the Seahawks tight ends and wants to fight him. But there's a camera on Aaron Donald. He puts his helmet on first, then runs over across the field after the game. He's going to get fined or maybe even suspended for trying to start a fight on the field after the game. That was a weird little incident. I didn't see what they were super mad about. They were saying he hit somebody late out of bounds, or I don't know. But anyway, it's just crazy looking at those teams I mentioned before. Six teams in the NFC are over 500. You've got the Rams and the Saints, which I mentioned there. Nobody else in the NFC West. The Carolina Panthers are also 6-3, so they're in cruise control right now, looking pretty good going into the end of the season down the stretch here. So that's three. In the North, Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings. The Bears are in first place in the North at 6-3. Vikings are at 5-3-1. And then the Packers and Detroit Lions are both, well, the Packers are at 500. Actually, the only team that's at 500 at 4-4-1 in the NFC. Then the Lions are 3-6. And then in the NFC East, again, only Washington is above 500 at 6-3. The Cowboys, who beat the Eagles, are now both at 4-5 on the season. And of course, the New York Giants at 1-7. So there's a few teams there. Like, the Eagles could definitely turn it on. I think they can be close. But they're sort of like the Titans. There's a few teams out there. The Chargers that are 7-2, but they're only beating bad teams. They've beaten the Raiders twice, the 49ers, the Bills, the Browns. And the two losses they have are against the Chiefs and the Rams. So they've had a weird schedule. And that was week one against the Chiefs. So they got ambushed by that Chiefs team that nobody realized with Pat Mahomes is going to be that good. So I don't know what to even think about the Chargers. But anyway, and that can change week to week. But the bottom line is Nick's picks and my picks all still alive. So, and even more important, my picks were correct. And the Saints are going to beat the Texans in the Super Bowl. Going to double down on that. I can just stamp that again right here after week 10. I love it. What else? So what about the Browns? That team, what a draft they had. The young players really starting to play. I think I among a lot of people, were like, oh, Greg Williams, that's the guy, the defensive coordinator. He's the guy you're going to go with as head coach for this team the rest of the way. And I thought it was a stupid idea. But they've looked good at least 1 week into that experiment. But Greg Williams, that doesn't change the fact that he's still a clown. That of the Bounty Gate, remember, he's the guy that was on tape talking about removing Frank Gore's head. Then the Niners went and crushed the Saints in the playoffs. Yeah, that whole thing. So, yeah, screw Greg Williams. The guy's just, not only does he act like a tool, he looks like a tool with his visor and his frosted tips sticking out of the top. Yeah, not a big Greg Williams fan over here. So we'll see if he tears down that Browns momentum that they have going. But Baker Mayfield playing well, looks like the real deal. Nick Chubb doing things at running back. They had a fantastic draft this year. Denzel Ward at corner doing big things. Haven't checked in on what offensive lineman Austin Corbett is doing. They drafted him high in the second round. Jannard Avery, a pass rushing linebacker who's been a very good pick for them. That goes along with some of the young talent they've had in the last couple of drafts. They did draft okay under Sashi Brown. They've got some physical freaks in Njoku at tight end. They've got Myles Garrett, obviously. So some young talent to work with once they've got their coaching staff figured out and add some more talent in the coming drafts. The Browns are an interesting team. Could the Browns actually finally become good? Obviously, they still don't have a great record. They're only 3-6 or 3-6-1 on the season right now, but coming off a big win, beating the Falcons. Another team that you just have no idea what they're going to do week in and week out. Browns beat the Falcons this week, 28-16. And another storyline that I think hasn't gotten talked about enough, or I haven't really talked about on the show, which is really cool to see, is welcome back Andrew Luck. The Colts beat the Jaguars 29-26. The Colts actually have a better record than the Jaguars. A lot of people were picking the Jaguars to win that AFC South division. But right now, the Colts have a better record. And you know why? Because they've got the quarterback. And the Jaguars don't. And I cannot. So first of all, welcome back Andrew Luck. It's awesome to see him back in the league, playing well, playing healthy. And he makes a world of difference for that team. And then the Jaguars, who, it's their own fault. Everybody knew Blake Bortles was bad, including the Jaguars. They had to know. But they didn't do anything about it. Teddy Bridgewater was available not only as a free agent, but then again via trade. And the Jaguars didn't make that deal. Teddy Bridgewater probably instantly makes the Jaguars a playoff team. Here's another storyline that actually about Monday Night Football that's not getting enough play. The 49ers could end Eli Manning's career on Monday night. Eli Manning could make his last start against the 49ers Monday night if the 49ers go out and do to the New York Giants what they did the week before to the Oakland Raiders. And it's crazy to think at this point in his career that Pat Shurmur, the New York Giants head coach, had to announce that Eli Manning was going to start. That tells you what's going on there already, because usually it would be like, of course, Eli Manning is the starter until he's not. Eli Manning's obviously going to start. You announce that somebody else is going to be the starter. You shouldn't have to announce that Eli Manning is going to start. So that tells you how close to being benched Eli Manning is. And they benched him last year, and then that whole saga was just super weird, and they didn't have a good plan to exit from Eli Manning, and so they thought they were going to be a good team this year and add a running back number two overall, and suddenly the team was going to be great, and obviously that didn't work out. So the team is still bad, and Eli Manning's not playing great. The offensive line is terrible, so it's hard for them to run the ball, and it's hard for them to protect Eli Manning. So the 49ers could make life really difficult for Eli Manning, and it could potentially be the last start for Eli Manning, who's a guy with two Super Bowl rings, which pretty much means he's punched his ticket already to the Hall of Fame. That's a pretty crazy situation over there. But what made me think of Eli Manning is how in the world, with what's going on now and the deadline just a few weeks ago, or what happened in the offseason and last season with the benching of Eli Manning for what, one game, I think it was. How did Tom Coughlin, who used to coach Eli and won Super Bowls with him in New York, and is now the personnel guy and the head guy for Jacksonville, how is Eli Manning not the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars right now? That just makes too much sense. How did they not get together and figure that out? Did the New York Giants at the trade deadline not know that they weren't going to be good? What was it, a salary thing with Eli making too much money? And what the hell were the Jaguars thinking, just period, rolling with Blake Bortles again into 2018 as their quarterback with no backup plan? Just insanity. Insanity. And now they're 3-6, and even their defensive side of the ball isn't doing all that great. Leonard Fournette's back for them, averaging, what, 2 yards per carry in that game against the Colts. So I don't know. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for me on this episode of Locked On 49ers. A lot of crazy storylines going on around the league. I didn't get a chance to talk about a lot of this stuff for 10 weeks because we're so immersed in the 49ers, obviously, on this Locked On 49ers podcast. But it's fun to look around the league and check in on where things are. All right, I'll be back tomorrow with a rapid react following Monday Night Football right here on Locked On 49ers.